Welcome to Faster Seatbelts here on 89.1 FM KPVL Postville and Decorah, streaming online at 89.1theblend.org. This is Fasten Your Seatbelts. I am Chuckle Boy, and I'll be taking you through the 8 to 9 hour this Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. We have a Hump Day guest in the studio today. That is indeed my card. We have the Hump Day guest in studio here, Nathan Allen and his entourage. Oh yeah, gotta turn on your mic. We're joined by...
I'm over here.
Welcome.
Do your thing.
Our Hump Day guest today is Nathan Allen, part magician, part comedian, totally dysfunctional. Just did a gig at the Elks Lodge in Decorah. That was Friday the 10th. So let's see, where to begin? You are magician from Postville, now anchored in Ames, and you've been doing magic since you were about 12 years old. And from what I gather, your mom was partly responsible for you getting into magic.
Yeah, she was. She, come here. we'll give mom a mic. Mom's here.
Okay, mom has a mic.
This is Julie.
Hi, everyone out there.
Yeah, she gave me a magic kit. How old was I?
You were about 8 years old. One of those deals where you don't know what to buy them. And poof, I happened to find it in the store, and I thought, hey, I think he'd like this.
Yeah, I got obsessed with it when I was about 8. Mm-hmm. She got me a magic kit, and a lot of other kids were, like, good at sports or, like, had friends. So I just stuck with the magic kit thing because that's what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had friends.
No, I didn't.
Okay, let's see. So you started, well, you got your first magic kit at 8 mm-hmm. for a birthday present.
Yeah.
And then you say you kind of officially started at 12?
At about 12, yeah. Yeah, I did my first show.
Mm-hmm.
It was for a neighborhood birthday party, and they recorded it. And I still have that video hidden away.
Very the archives.
It's a horrible, horrible video.
So let's see. To describe your style of magic, you do a very classic style, but you put a twist on it. Do you want to talk a little bit about what twist you put on it that makes it yours?
I don't know if I'd call it a twist. I just call it being honest about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I do love classic magic. I do love old school sleight of hand, but I also love just being honest and having fun with mm-hmm. the crowd, you know. Mm-hmm.
My notes are just all over the place, so bear with me.
They're very scribbly.
Yes, definitely. You put your own sense of humor into your shows, and
that's what they call it. I don't know.
I mean, like you said, you're just being honest about, you know, you're just doing your own thing, and you're just being you on stage.
And I'm kind of b***ed up, I guess.
And I would say that your humor, some may call it dark or twisted, but really it's just you, but, you know, it's almost reminiscent of Bill Hicks and George Carlin, because they did a lot of dirty jokes on stage, but they did it quite well.
Thank you.
Well, I was
go on.
I was mentioning that, you know, your dark sense of humor is somewhat reminiscent of Bill Hicks and George Carlin. So that's, you know, what I get from the humor end. And then, you know, as I said, the classic magician style is reminiscent of Houdini, and you said you were influenced by Keller and Copperfield, just all of the classics, really.
Yeah. I really appreciate the Hicks and Carlin reference. That I'm undeserving of that. but Houdini, who was a horrible magician, I found immensely inspirational. And take from that what you will. I was also influenced very heavily by Lance Burton, who was big while I was growing up. He's retired now. And also David Copperfield, who my lovely mother here took me to see live, and it just destroyed my world. I mean, if you've ever seen a Copperfield show live, especially in the mid-90s, it just ruins your head. It's just, I mean, the man is a brilliant showman. It's amazing.
Again, going back to the original style of your show, yes, and the humor that you put into it. Some may call it raunchy or dark or twisted. It could be an age thing, but really, when we were talking, you said that it's really,
oh, it's all over the
boils
place.
Down to a frame of mind.
Yeah, it's a frame of mind, exactly. The best crowds I've had range from probably 18 on to, I don't know, like 70. It's a frame of mind. It totally is. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with where you grew up. Fun people are fun people.
Yeah.
End of story, you know?
I mean, you could perform for a college crowd, and they probably eat it up because they're kind of that frame of mind, you could say.
Depending but then, on the people.
Yep. I mean, the same young people could be totally offended, too. And then,
yes,
you
and
know,
then there's that, and then you switch, and the very next night, you have the most perverted 60-year-olds on the face
like,
of the
like
planet.
Like Betty White types.
Betty White types, yeah. And I think we're all sort of Betty White deep down. Am I right?
Yeah. We all have a little bit of Betty inside.
Mom knows.
Yeah.
Mom knows Betty inside.
I got Betty in here. Yeah.
Speaking of college shows, you're in Ames now, so have you performed for Iowa State?
Yeah, I've done Iowa State. I've also done University of Iowa, a lot of colleges around the Midwest. And they are really a lot of fun. I really enjoy them.
So you started your magic when you were young, between the ages of 8 and 12. You got started when you were 8 and you performed by age 12. Mm-hmm. So you were really starting young. And you started with, you know, some of the basic classics, you know, cups and balls, ropes, cards. So you started with family performances, birthday parties, I imagine.
Yep.
I've also got down here Postville Talent Show. You started upgrading to public performances.
Oh, thanks for bringing up like serious emotional scars. Cool, let's talk about that. Which one do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the one where I was holding a rose between my teeth? Or the one where I was too young to know how to control my voice and it cracked on stage?
Yes.
I mean, we can do both.
It's up to you, man.
I don't want to talk about this.
All right.
Okay.
We can move on.
Okay.
So, you
I love awkward. It's so awkward. It's great. Okay, go.
Family performances, talent shows, small company parties. How'd you get in line with that?
I think my pimp hooked me up with, and, you know, mom. Julie,
your mom pimp.
Ladies and gentlemen. she... I don't really know. There is absolutely no reason I should have worked as much as I did that early in my career.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of is she was just out there just being like, hey, hire my kid, which is awkward looking back and thinking about it, but I appreciate it. Is that what happened?
I think you just got a lot of really good publicity from the people that saw you do like the little birthday parties and the little Christmas parties. And they were your best advertisement, you know, word of mouth. It was a great advertisement for you.
I also slipped them roofies.
Yeah.
You also did a governor election. Want to elaborate on that?
Oh, Culver's. Yeah. And the entire time I was there, I was like, I want a burger. Because a better brand of beef makes a Butterburger better.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Culver. I did his inaugural gala. I was the only magician from Iowa asked to perform on stage, and I performed with Tom Arnold and also Al Green. Al Green was kind of stuck up, didn't get to hang out with him too much. Tom Arnold was cool because he left his dressing room unlocked. And while he was on stage doing the MC thing between acts, I stole his pizza and ate it.
Very nice.
Awkward silence. I love it.
You thief.
He just keeps looking at me, and I'm trying to move on to the next thing, and he's just like anticipating something, and I've got nothing.
Going,
yep.
You know exactly what's going to happen next.
Yep.
It didn't happen, though, did it?
No.
Cool.
Nothing's really happening. All that's happening is you just keep looking at me with a look.
Right?
But a little more on the performances. Last couple I remember are you at the county fair.
Well, live on Winnebago. Ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I remember you. County fair, I think you did live on Winnebago one year. I remember you under the library.
Yep, yep.
And Decorah Bank opening.
Yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You remember more gigs than I do. Holy crap. That is impressive. Very well done. You've mm-hmm. done your research.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to lie, I'm a little freaked out, and I'm just going to wander away right now.
I'm stalking you, Nathan.
That's cool. Wouldn't be the first time.
So you've done some large shows. I mean, I would consider the Governor Culver pretty big event. You've also done, you know, corporate company events.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep. 3M, Alliant Energy, Charter Communications, Walmart, Radio Shack, all over the place, yeah.
And it seems like a lot of these have been word of mouth, thanks to your mom, Pimp, and maybe some others.
It's true. Thanks to mom, Pimp.
Yeah. Any shout-outs?
Yo, I want to give a shout-out to mom, Pimp.
The bigger shows were around 2002, 2004. You had a very different style back then.
Very different.
Correct.
Yeah. I used to levitate somebody from the audience. I used to saw somebody from the audience in half. I used to put my head into a box and push a button and it would explode. There was a small mushroom cloud. My head would disappear. You could see right through the box to the back curtain behind me. And I just got sick of carrying all of those damn props around mm-hmm. because I'm lazy.
Mm-hmm. So around 2005, you started doing more original shows.
Yeah.
Formed your own style.
Completely changed my act.
You had a Britney Spears breakdown.
I had a Britney Spears breakdown where, I mean, she shaved her head, and what I did is just shaved my props, which makes it sound like my props had hair, but they didn't. I just shaved all the excess baggage, I guess, off of my, well, not just my show, but my life also. But that's a long story, and I don't want to get into that. Okay, so what I did is I got rid of all these big props. I used to have a van load of props, and I went all minimalistic, and now my entire show, as far as the onstage stuff, will fit into like a duffel bag. I mean, mm-hmm. pack small, play big kind of thing. I realized that people don't care what kind of sparkly boxes you have on stage. They don't care about that. All they want to do is have fun and be entertained. And having fun and being entertained doesn't mean sparkly boxes, you know. It just means jokes, and it just means interacting with the audience. Mm-hmm. So that's the direction in which I went.
The next thing I want to talk about is national acts. Your take on them, some of their styles. Just get your perspective on these things as a magician. First off, we got Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller?
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How would you describe their style? They do sleight of hand. They do illusions.
I would describe their style as immensely entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I do love them, too.
Where are they playing? Are they at the Riviera now? They're somewhere out in Vegas. Matt doesn't know.
Where are they based out of?
Originally?
Know? Yeah.
I think Penn is from, like, Massachusetts. And mm-hmm. I think, if I remember right, I think Teller is from Jersey or something.
But them as an act, where did they launch from, location-wise?
Location-wise, probably the same area. I mean, they worked like Renaissance festivals and stuff mm. when they were young.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Chris Angel, this is someone who we could probably get into quite
everybody
a bit.
Everybody knows Angel.
Yeah, everyone has their thoughts on Chris Angel. He was popular for a while. A lot of people think he's kind of a douche now.
Is he not popular anymore?
Well, a lot of people think he's kind of a douche.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool to hear. Tell me more.
You know, Family Guy's made fun of him. Simpsons has ripped on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the. I think he still does have his TV show, right? The Mind Freak.
As far as I know, I don't follow him like at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He gained popularity with his TV show and. He was cool for a while, but I think he's become a little bit overrated. You either love him or you hate him.
I don't know. I'm indifferent.
As far as his TV show, versus his live act, you say there's a big difference there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've never seen his live act in person, but I've heard from people that I've seen both, there's a huge disconnect. I mean, of course, if you're performing live, you're not going to be able to use camera tricks and forced camera perspectives to accomplish your stuff because you have an audience. So I can kind of understand why people are upset at what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He can't live up to his own hype, mm-hmm. I guess is the way it's best put. And I think that's all I need to say.
Copperfield.
Love the guy.
Have you seen him live?
I have. A few times. My mama.
Twice.
My mama took me there. Mom, mommy, mom, ma, Julie, mom,
yes.
Mom,
hello.
Mommy.
Hello.
Hi. She took me to the show
for
the
his
first
birthday.
Time.
Bought him tickets for his birthday.
Yeah, very nice. In La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Very nice.
Blew my mind. The guy puts on a hell of a show.
Definitely a favorite of yours.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Burton.
Burton, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, really cool dude too.
Mm-hmm. The amazing Jonathan. You've been compared to him. Just because you have very high energy show and everything.
The good, because there aren't many comedy magic acts, I think, with an adult slant.
Mm-hmm.
So there are very few of us. So obviously, I mean, he has some TV exposure, so mm-hmm. we're going to get compared, you know. But yeah, AJ's seems like a cool dude. I posted something on Facebook a while back about... So I use razor blades in my show,
mm-hmm.
and I've been using them for like 12 years. Never had a problem. A couple weeks ago, this girl in the front row, I dropped razor blades on her table. Again, never had a problem with this. She picks up the razor blades and reportedly is all like, "They're not that sharp. They're not that sharp," and starts hacking away at her wrist. And blood is spurting, and she's still saying, "They're not that sharp, they're not that sharp." You guys need to see the expression on Jungle Boy's face right now. He just has this ridiculous grin, and I worry about him, not going to lie. Okay, so I guess she got kicked out of this club.
For good reason,
yeah.
Obviously.
So I posted this little story on Facebook. So I got a little message from AJ, and he's like, "That's a good bit. Go with it." So I just need to get some people on my payroll and just hack their wrists up and have some fake blood, I think.
Fair enough. Okay, let's talk about Vegas. Very well known for magic acts. And I'm sure there are pros and cons of Vegas. Pros to Vegas: good weather, open containers. You can walk around.
And what more than that do you need?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Vegas is kind of got a reputation for being a really sleazy place and lots of
do you find
fakeness.
Sleazy?
Shall we look up the definition or something?
Let's do that. Yeah. Okay. Let's look up sleazy because I think
you don't think Vegas is sleazy. Oh, hey, look, we've got a Kesha song right away as the first link. So that should tell you a lot about what sleazy is.
I think it depends on what part of the town you're in, seriously.
Because
mm-hmm. actually on the Strip, it's pretty classy.
Yeah?
When you're on the Strip, it's nice.
Very ladies and gentlemen, very my clean. Mother just said Las Vegas Strip is classy.
It is. It's really cool.
You're weird.
Can't help it.
Okay.
So the drugs and prostitution is probably where the sleaziness comes in.
You see more of that in Old Town. That's kind of scary down in Old Town.
If you want the dictionary definition of sleazy here, since we were bringing it up.
Yes. I'm back.
Sordid, corrupt, or immoral. Marked by low character or quality. Shabby, dirty, vulgar.
Matt just patted me on the back and is pointing at me. Apparently, I match every bit of that. I'm giving him the finger, though, so it's okay. Again, I honestly do not know enough about Vegas to mm-hmm. really have a legit opinion. There are people walking past with dogs.
Blame
it on my ADD. What were we talking about?
Vegas.
Right. Let's go to Vegas.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
See Chris Angel?
Come on. Yeah. Probably get free tickets.
Yeah. Sounds legit.
They're giving them away.
Moving on. Underrated or underappreciated parts of magic, in your opinion? Or, like, what it means to be an underappreciated magician?
It means sadness and alcoholism, I think. But if you're talking about what I think you're talking about, if you're good at magic, people don't know it because you hide what you do. You cannot see a good magician doing what a good magician does. Whereas juggling, you are very aware of the skill and you see exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. But a magician, if you're a good magician, you're hiding everything you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it sounds crazy now that I'm saying it aloud.
No, I think it makes sense. Makes sense in my mind.
And that's depressing, isn't it? You get no respect a little bit. For that.
Yeah. It's kind of a tough gig.
Yeah.
But
should we talk about it?
Do you want to talk about it?
Let's talk about it.
Okay. How does it make you feel?
All right, moving on.
What about some of the underrated or overrated tricks of magic? Any opinions there?
Houdini's disappearing elephant was probably way overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Way underrated is anything I've ever done.
Fair enough.
Pick a card.
I'm picking a card.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
In your mind?
Yeah.
Cool. Put it back. Makes it pretty easy to find. Was that your card?
Yep.
He put it on top. It was easy. Are we on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We are recording. Let's talk about practice and prep that goes into your show. Is there any practice time that you put in before a show? Do you usually practice your sleight of hand in the car, or is it just kind of muscle memory by now that you don't even have to think about it?
Yeah, it's mostly muscle memory
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm trying something new, I really don't have to practice. I'm fortunate to have enough gigs that I don't need to just like set aside practice time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I mean, the gigs are frequent enough that I can just do my thing, and that keeps me and my muscles trained.
Some of the show prep.
Right.
I want to ask you about the voiceovers and who did your voiceovers.
Oh, for the pre-show countdown and
right.
things like that?
Right.
Yeah, that was a dude named James Patrick. I don't know if you guys remember him. He was a DJ on Rock 108. He might still be. I haven't talked to him for a few years. But yeah, he was cool. He had a real high-energy voice, so I got in contact with him and had him do the countdown, you know, 3 minutes to showtime or whatever he said. I'm sure we can splice that actual audio in.
Sure.
If you want.
If you send it to me.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
I will email you things.
Sounds good.
Audio files and photos and things.
Mm-hmm.
Photos and things.
Photos and things.
Mostly photos.
I'm worried now.
Oh, don't be worried. Just go with it.
Okay.
Good.
How long are your performances usually?
That's what she said.
That is good.
What? private parties are usually 45, 50 minutes. Public shows, my part of the show, is usually about 60 minutes, about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If I have an opening act with me, which I do for most public shows, then the entire show is about an hour and a half. Same as a feature-length film.
Mm-hmm. Any preference one way or the other, private or public shows? Like them both equally?
I think I lean towards the public shows simply because they're usually in nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no content restrictions at all. You know, I can just cut loose, have fun, and be myself.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy. However, the private shows are fun because they're all a captive audience, you know, for a company party. And mm-hmm. they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they wanted to.
We've said a couple times on here, your magic show is really based off the classics. Yeah. You know, lots of old school sleight of hand.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask is, what other stuff have you thought of incorporating into your show besides sleight of hand stuff?
Well, they used to do some illusions. Mm-hmm. I mean, not huge like Copperfield. It was a fun show to do at the time, but I just really got sick of carrying that many props around. Like, mm-hmm. I like had a van load of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So what have I considered doing other than sleight of hand currently in my show, to answer your question? The answer is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather do sleight of hand, you know, rely on just raw skill.
Yeah. Then you said you wanted to keep it really minimalistic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like that in my personal life too.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the props, and carrying that many props just becomes a practicality, really.
Right. Right.
So wrapping up here, when are your next gigs, and where?
Tonight, the bachelorette party.
Next show is in Northeast Iowa, Decorah area. You said you might be back in December.
Yeah, they're all private parties I have booked, so not open to the public. But but I do post all the public shows on my website, maniacofmagic.com. That was my best sales voice. Was that good?
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Cool. maniacofmagic.com. I have a public show schedule. I also have a blog there where I post stupid pictures and dirty jokes and naked things. It's a lot of fun. And also a lot of information about my show and what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Also, on your site, you can find your tricks of the day, your YouTube.
Yes, how to be a tricky bastard.
Mm-hmm.
I almost forgot about those. Yeah, I have some videos on YouTube that are linked from my website, maniacofmagic.com. If you just click the YouTube link from that site, you can go to some videos where you can learn some fun ways to freak out your friends and win free drinks from relatives, if you are so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them, yes?
Yeah, I've seen a couple. I saw the squeaky one.
Ah, that one's fun. That's my favorite.
Yeah. What else? Any other features that you'd like to plug that are on your website?
Yes. I don't know if you guys believe in ghosts, but I did this thing. I got into ghost hunting a little bit ago, and I've got this video where we have some pretty incredible evidence of ghosts. So just go ahead, visit my website, check out this video. You're going to be blown away. I've had a lot of people watch it multiple times going, no way. This just did not just happen. There are no camera tricks. Just go ahead, watch the video, and your mind, it will be shocked. You must check this out.
Sounds good.
maniacofmagic.com.
What about booking? Is there a number people can call, or should they just primarily go to your website?
Yeah, the website's the best way to do that for live shows. maniacofmagic.com. Or you could just send me like a drunken text in the middle of the night. That'd be cool. My cell number's right up there on the website, too. That'd be fun.
Booking, go to your website. Yeah, videos, go to your website.
Yeah, I got videos.
Bio, go to your website.
Yep, got there.
Website is
got review maniacofmagic.com.
All right, so I think that pretty much wraps up this interview here on Fasten Your Seatbelts.
maniacofmagic.com.
Thank you, Nathan Allen, for joining us in the studio here for an interview.
Oh, Jungle Boy, almost forgot.
Hmm.
maniacofmagic.com.